Red's tip for Go Fish Ngambi. For your chance to win, head to gofishngambi.com.au.
Welcome back to Real Adventures. It's time for Red's tip.
Yeah, Patrick, it's one of those ones that I think this is really crucial to have in a boat, and it's the position of your lights. Now, your LED lights is a must these days. I don't think anyone else has any other. What were those old school lights called?
Not halogen.
What are they called? I can't even think.
I don't know.
We'll call them orange lights. No one uses orange lights anymore. They're all the LEDs.
How technical are we getting with this show?
I think that's why people listen to us, is because it's reality. It's bringing things down back to earth.
I agree. Everyone knows what you mean when orange old lights. LEDs.
LEDs are extremely important to have in a boat, especially when you're traveling at night. Now, what I mean by this is, the reason we're going to be talking about under the gunnels is because we're going to talk about traveling at night. That's the key word. Now, you don't want to have lights that reflect into your cabin. You don't want to have that.
So you want a dim light, don't you?
Dim. You want to be
you can notice it, but it's not obstructing your view when you want everything to be dark, especially around your face and that sort of thing.
Well, when you're traveling, for instance, in my North Bank, and if I chuck the spotlights on, and have the boys at the back deck working, going out of the creek at Queenscliff at night, it's actually bloody hard to see out the front, just from the natural reflection off the clears and the lights on. So what I've done in my boat, and I think you're going to do in your boat, which you would have done, is I've got LED lights under the actual gunnels, like in the side pockets, up under the gunnels. So the boys can still do their work on the deck, but the lights are pointing down onto the ground, not reflecting up onto my face. And I can travel with these on and comfortably see out the front of my boat. So when you do get your lights, make sure you get them positioned really, really well. Something Wayne's done on his 1850 Fisher, on his Stabycraft, is he's actually put LED strip lighting along the back of his baitboard pad. So instead of having his spotlights, which get you in the eyes when you turn around, he's actually put spotlights around the back of his baitboard, which reflect over the top of his rods.
It looks really good.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And he can fish of a night and see his rods without having turned around the spotlights in your eyes, which can be a pain in the backside. So you've got the options of spotlight. You've also got the options of having them on the back of your baitboard if you've got a decent baitboard. And you've also got the options of having on the front of your boat a light that goes forward. Now, what I mean by light that goes forward is a light that actually you've got a spotlight that goes that you can use to look for in Western Port, for instance, Gwayne example. He's got lights all over the front of his boat, and that's for the fact that he travels there and only everybody fourth pole's lit up, Pat, where I don't really have that in Port Phillip Bay. They're all lit up. But you can't drive with that spotlight on normally in water because you can't see when you're traveling at night either. The water, by having a spotlight on the water, is not like having your headlights on a car. It reflects, it doesn't do any justice. So traveling without any lights is the ultimate way to go about it.
That was Red's tip for Go Fish Ngambi. Win 80K cold hard cash. Enter now at gofishngambi.com.au.
It's time for the flying gaff. That was Red's tip. And after seeing a couple of 300 kilo sharks caught and killed over the last few weeks, it begs the question, and Trapman Bermagui, who we love following, he's fantastic. For those at home that want a great fishing site to follow on the socials, Trapman is sensational. But there's been a 340-kilo Mako caught off Port Hacking.
It was a 394 tiger shark caught as well.
And a 394-kilo tiger shark. The first one, the Mako, it's a beautiful shark, and at that size, the amount of mercury in it, I wouldn't be eating it.
Nope.
And when it comes to the tiger shark, who's going to eat a 400-kilo tiger shark anyway?
Then time even worse with mercury and the pneumonia that goes through it too.
Yeah. For me, it just speaks to ego rather than we all love catching these
beasts.
Animals, beasts, sharks. Keep it. Release it. Let someone else enjoy the fun of chasing one, but let it go. All it does is take another beautiful fish out of the sea that we all love seeing, we love catching, but most of all, we love enjoying it.
I'm on both sides of the fence there. I definitely wouldn't have kept the tiger, but I probably would have kept the Mako. I would have had a go at trying to eat it. I've never eaten one that big before, but I would have had a go at it. I would have done things properly. I would have bled it properly. I would have frozen it, and then I would have let it thaw out before I ate it to let the mercury settle and everything like that to give it a go. I think that's what I'd do. I'm not in the boat at the moment. I'd probably get alongside and be shit scared of it because it's so big. But I don't know. I'm on the fence with the Mako, but the Tiger I definitely would have released.
You've been listening to Real Adventures. Thanks for joining us this morning.